It is good to be here this evening. It is good to have those with us who were not able to be with us this morning, as some were traveling. As we are God's people, we deal with truth. I want to speak this evening regarding some obligations to truth, and I want to do so from the standpoint of what God's Word says regarding truth. You know, we live in an age when many efforts seem to be directed toward de-emphasizing the truth, de-emphasizing obligations in general. And so it's good tonight that we discuss these obligations to truth. When you look at the Godhead, you see truth. When you look at the things that God has provided for us, we see truth. Man can learn that there is a creator simply by observing the things that God created. And as you turn to Psalm chapter 19 and verse 1, we look around the world in which we live. We see the changing of the seasons. We see the sun come up in the morning. We know that it is because the earth revolves around the sun. And as it revolves around the sun, it is spinning on its axis. And all of these things did not happen by chance. The very existence of earth was not a cosmic thing. It was something that God spoke into existence. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." We see the handiwork of God when we look at the earth. So to learn the mind, the nature, and the will of God, man must look to God's Word, which is the Bible. In Acts chapter 17, verses 22 and following, we see the Apostle Paul at Mars Hill. We see him standing there before a group of people that were so superstitious that they made, altars. They made these altars to these gods so that they might worship all of them. Verse 23 tells us that they made one to the unknown God. Let's read the first part of this. "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God.' He then says, 'Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needeth anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bonds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us.'" If that is not evidence enough, then he says in verse 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." We need only to look to the genealogy, and I think it's the one in Luke that traces the genealogy back, and it says, "And so-and-so was the son of so-and-so," all the way back into Adam, who was the son of God. And we must understand that we are his creation and therefore his offspring. There's a reason why Paul would give this information to these people. It's because they need to understand. Verse 30 says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead." This was the preaching of Christ, telling them of Christ and the thing that would happen because of Christ. As we carefully study deity, we find the truth is an essential part and a trait of God. God, for instance, is said in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4 to be a God of truth. As we continue to look throughout the Bible, we'll see that Jesus is truth. And not only is Jesus truth, the Holy Spirit is truth. He delivered it to the apostles so that we might have it. Deuteronomy 32 and 4 says, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Now, if you can, just for a moment, think about a flawed God creating a world and expecting everything to continue to work. It doesn't happen. God is perfect, and he has his truth, and he has given it to us. The Bible tells us that God is a God of truth without iniquity. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, we see that Christ also was truth. And the Word was made flesh. We know also that this Word is talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the world was made by him. And nothing was made that was not made by him. He was with God in the beginning. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Remember, he was begotten of the Father. God is a God of truth, and therefore Christ also would be truth. We need only to look to John chapter 15, verse 26, when Jesus was talking with his disciples. And he told them about the Comforter who would be coming to them, this Spirit who would be coming to them to help them. He calls him even the Spirit of truth. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So we have first God the Father, we have God the Son, and we have God the Spirit, all being identified as God of truth. In John 16, verse 13, we see also, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Not only was the Spirit of truth, but he would guide them into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show things to come. And so we know now the source of truth. And so we have some obligations to truth. The Scriptures are replete with teachings regarding man's duty to the truth of God's Word. We first must understand that the truth can be understood and understood alike. You know, that's where a lot of problems come in. And we use this passage this morning, but we'll use it again this evening. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Why is it that some people follow truth and some people don't? Well, there are some people who do not read, therefore they do not understand, and therefore they cannot adequately follow God because they have navigated away from the truth, having not read and having not understood. But the Bible then says that we can, whereby when you read, ye may understand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, as Paul is writing under inspiration of the Spirit to these people, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. They could only speak the same thing if they knew the same thing. And how are they going to know something except they read it and they understand it? That's why it should be the case that you go into any building labeled Church of Christ, you should hear gospel preaching, you should hear the proper songs sung, you should hear the proper things taught in the class, but unfortunately that's not the case. You have to check them out. One of the first things you do usually is go to the website. You go to their website, you look at it, and you see if anything jumps out at you, and then you feel a little better about it. Well, it's close. You know, they have meetings at scriptural time, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning for Bible study, and then 11 o'clock, and then 6 o'clock in the evening. So they're all above board here. And then you come up to the building and with some trepidation, and you come up and you sit down, and you think, wow, should I run outside and look at the sign again? Now, this happened to us in Washington, D.C. We went and we sat down, and we sat there, and we squirmed, and finally, with one accord, we got up and left. Because it was not the same thing. Fortunately, we were able to find a place. Also, we need to understand that the truth is presented in God's Word. Why did God even give us the Bible? So that we might know so that we might read, so that we might understand. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, we find out how he gave us his word, how it developed over time. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, friends, we are living in the last day now, in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. But does that say anything about truth? No, but John chapter 17, verse 17 does. It tells us, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We talked this morning about what is the difference between those who were Christians there in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Those Christians, what made them different? Because they had been separated. They had been sanctified by what? By the truth that is found in God's word and properly applying it to their lives and doing those things which is pointed out in that word. And then they were baptized into Christ, and then they became new creatures. And as they became new creatures, they're separated as children of God. That's how the truth sanctifies. That's how it separates. It's presented in God's word, as we find out in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. It talks about the hope that is laid up in heaven. If we do not believe in heaven, then we don't believe the word of God. If we don't believe in hell, then we don't believe the word of God. What does it say there? For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Where do you know about heaven? Oh, it's just something our parents taught us when we were small children, right? Where did mom and daddy learn it? And on back and on back and on back. It's not a myth. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Where did he go? He went to the right hand of the Father on high. Man is to know, to believe, and to seek the truth. It is important that we understand that this is what we are to seek. Jesus himself in John 8:32 said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What does that mean? From what do we need to be freed? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, we need to be free from sin. So what is it that would free us from sin? It is the truth. Where do you find the truth? It's in God's word. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, at verse 3, we see the description of those who would change the truth, who would decide that they would determine what would be the truth, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. There were those who come up and say, you know, we're going to do it our way. And when they did, they ceased to do it God's way. They went away from the truth. Man is to worship in truth. Man is to walk in truth. Man is to love in truth. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, it tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What was in question there? What was in question there was the location. Where is it to worship? Well, the Samaritans said, you worship over in Mount Gerizim. The Jews said, no, you have to worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We must have the right attitude, but we must come according to God's truth and worship him in that way. It's important to realize that if we do not follow the truth, condemnation is our lot. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 and 12 gives us insight into this. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause shall God send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now don't read into this anything that's not there. God is not going to force them to go a certain way. God does not force those who follow the truth to follow the truth. As I said recently, if that were the case, we'd need a much larger building. But notice what is being said here. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion. What does he do? He places before them all sorts of choices. All he does is present them with the world. It's like a kid in a candy store. That they're looking at this one and they want this piece of candy until they see this over here. And then another piece of candy catches their eye. Well, they can't really choose. It's kind of like a woman in a shoe store. She likes them all. You have to make a choice. The woman has to make a choice in the shoe store. The child has to make a choice in the candy store. And our choices have ramifications. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. God does not force you to follow the truth. He's set it there for you, and he's also told you what the benefit is of following the truth. But he's also told you what the consequences are of not following the truth. Moreover, we are under obligation to speak and rightly divide or handle the truth. You know, there are people that are headed for condemnation because of other people. And that's not entirely true. But when somebody preaches and teaches something that's not the truth, they begin to send somebody off in an erring path. All I had to do was teach and preach that everything is the same except for it's not necessarily to be baptized. Makes it a little more convenient, doesn't it? And so people begin to do that. And then other people begin to teach that because that's what they've seen and heard all of their lives. And you see what happened. At some point, somebody decided that we needn't follow the truth. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 tells us that we are to speak the truth and how we are to speak it and why we ought to speak it. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That we might grow in Christ. Why? Because we're speaking the truth. And how are we to speak it? In love. That others may accept it. We're to speak and rightly divide the truth according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. It tells us there how we are to handle the truth. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Is the truth always comfortable? No, it's not. It's not easy to be heard. I remember the first time that I heard that I was lost. I didn't like it. And so I took the Bible and I turned it around to the person. I'm not going to say it's absolutely the first time. But the time that it was most serious, when I can tell that the person was sincere, and I turned the Bible around to him and I said, "Here, prove it." He did. I didn't like it, but it was still the truth. It still applied to me. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Of course, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us how we are to handle the word of truth. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. How many times have preachers, people said, my preacher said. Well, it's in the Bible. How do you know? Well, my preacher said. I once heard a woman say that in the Bible was a phrase that said, every tub stands on its own bottom. I wonder which preacher told her that. But how do we know what's there? Now, Linda has a bad habit. Well, it's not really a bad habit. We have Bibles that are literally falling apart. You know why? Because when we're looking for a passage, we can visualize in our mind what side of the page it's on. It's on the top, on the left-hand side. Oh, here it is. You get a different Bible and we're back and forth. Oh, it's way down here on the other side. But it's because we have spent time in there studying and learning. It was funny. We were going over some songs this afternoon. She says, I'm looking for a song. It's on the left side. Well, she's known the songbook now. That's good. But the point is that you've been in it long enough that you understand it, or at least know where to find it. Brings up another good point. I've had people to say to me, I don't know the Bible very well. And I sit and listen to the excuses that follow. I don't know the Bible very well because, you know, I work 70 hours a week. And I've got 4 kids. And you know, college is coming up. And you know, I have to play golf every once in a while. Whatever the excuse is. But isn't it an acceptable thing? Study Why? So you're smarter than your brother? No. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. We should be able, every one of us, to sit down with somebody and explain to them the gospel plan of salvation. Now, I'll guarantee you the water can get deep in a hurry when people start asking questions about the soul. But know that all of us would help everybody else out. And collectively, if need be, we'll sit down and we'll study it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've been studying Matthew chapter 24. We're going to suspend it because some of our members aren't going to be here for that class, the ladies' class. But it's important. If you don't rightly divide that chapter, then you'll start believing premillennialism. I can't even talk tonight. But the truth is important. It's important because it sets us free. It purifies the soul. It stabilizes. We all need to be free. We all need our souls purified. We all need a stable environment. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, again, we see Jesus saying, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Friends, you may know all the truth that there is in the Bible. I doubt that you ever could. But you can know it backwards and forwards, up and down. You may be able to quote large portions of it, but if you do not do it, it will not set you free. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22. It tells us there that those that obeyed purified their souls. Notice, seeing ye to those that he was writing to, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Do you not realize that when you obey the gospel, you are in Christ? And one word that personifies Christ is love, more than any other word. That's what he was saying to them. But notice, they were already purified because they had obeyed the truth. Again, you may know the truth. And you know, may know that the Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But if you do not apply it, it will not make you free. It's kind of like having medicine in a bottle. Do you have medicine? Yes. When's the last time you took it? I can't remember. "But doctor, I'm sick." "Well, yeah, I gave you medicine." I don't know how many people that's ever been in this world, but I know this. However large the number is that have not obeyed God under whatever dispensation or whatever under law under which they served or lived, if they did not obey God, that is the number of those that will be cast into outer darkness. Why? Because they were not purified in obeying the truth. Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 has us an additional information regarding this. We must be cautious. And if we are not aware, if we do not know the word of God, we cannot be aware of those things that would be against us. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." How are you going to grow? How are you going to grow? It says grow in grace and in the knowledge. Where does knowledge come from? Well, everybody knows it comes from a book. But what book? God's book, the Bible, where truth is found. He says to them, "Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Here it is. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to these that he had written to in First Peter that had purified their souls and obeyed the truth. And now they need to be careful Because if they don't remain in the truth, they can be led away with the error of the wicked. Oh, I think there's a lot of church members tonight, not necessarily just here, but members of the Lord's church tonight who are occupying a pew, some of them who are not occupying a pew tonight, who thought, well, I've got my hour, 2 hours worth of worship today, I'm good to go. Why? Because they've been led away with the error of the wicked. Perhaps some of them have fallen from their own steadfastness. What does Peter say? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we realize the importance of truth, we understand John's joy that certain ones walked in the truth. In 2 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. 2 John verses 1 through 6. It's always encouraging to find others who have continued in the truth. A lot of times phone conversations go like this. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing well. We haven't talked for about 5 years. And then you talk on a little bit. Oh, is so-and-so still going to church over there? What are you really asking? Are you going there? Have you seen him? And what a great feeling when someone says, oh yeah, I saw him last Sunday. You know that they're going. We hope that they are faithful. John's joy was full. He said, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment of the Father. Now I beseech the lady, not as though I write a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. What is it? It is love. How do we know about it? Because it's contained in the Bible, where truth is contained. You know, it's tragic and sad that we basically live in an age when there's a little appreciation for the truth. People don't care if they lie. People don't care how they conduct themselves in many situations. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, it tells us, buy the truth and sell it not. You know why? Because it's a precious commodity. It's something that we can't do without. Remember, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Indeed, we have many obligations to the truth of God's word. And this evening we just mentioned a few of them. This obligation to truth begins with our initial obedience. Well, what is that? The Bible says that we must hear the word of God, Romans 10, 17. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8, 24. We must repent, Acts 2, 38. Confess, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Be baptized, Mark 16, 15 and 16. And live faithfully until death, Revelation 2, 10. Then we have that which is known as the second law of pardon in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, where he said to those who had once been baptized into Christ, become children of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. I don't know your soul's condition tonight, but I do know this. The truth contained in God's word tells us, if nothing else, two things. Where those who properly apply the truth will spend their eternity, and where those who do not apply the truth will spend their eternity. Again, you have a choice. What is your choice? Our hymn of invitation has been selected. It's appropriate that the hymn that we have chosen is What Will Your Answer Be? Let us stand as together we sing this song, and if you need to respond, please do so at this time.